Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
When Israel had been especially rebellious against God, we see Israel suffering, attacked, and even scattered out of the land. After 19 centuries of such a scattering, the Lord fulfilled His prophetic word in Zechariah chapter 1, where He said, "Therefore thus says Jehovah, I return to Jerusalem with compassions. My house will be built in it, declares Jehovah of hosts, and a measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. Cry out, saying, Thus says Jehovah of hosts, My cities will again overflow with good, and Jehovah will again comfort Zion, and will again choose Jerusalem." Well, as I said, this prophetic word was fulfilled in the last century, beginning in 1948, when the nation of Israel once again was restored. The promise of both the blessing and the cursing of Israel that we just referred to can be found in Deuteronomy, especially chapter 28. And Bob Danker has joined us for our next to the last life study program on Deuteronomy. Bob, I'm glad you're here today.
Again, Chris, it's a real pleasure to be with you, especially here as we consider this prophetic word concerning Israel. And we know that Israel in the Bible is a picture of the church.
Right.
So whatever applies to Israel applies to us.
Bob, as we've just been discussing, Israel, if they would listen to Jehovah and keep His word, they were promised a blessing. But also, Deuteronomy details nearly an innumerable number of curses that would befall them if they failed to listen to the voice of Jehovah. And so the chapter that we're on today, chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, is almost too heavy to read with all these terrible curses. But of course, now we have the benefit of history, and as we look back over Israel's history, we can see that these words were in fact amazingly prophetic on both sides, the side of blessing and the side of cursing. And this has been Israel's experience over these thousands of years, hasn't it?
That's right, Chris. It all depended on whether Israel would keep Jehovah's word, would keep God's word. When they kept it, they were blessed. And when they forsook God and His word, then all the curses came upon them. And I would say, as we look back over history, from the time of the invasion of Israel by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, where Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed and the people were carried away, even though God preserved Israel and even brought the people back to the land and rebuilt the temple and the city, the nation of Israel has suffered immeasurably over all the centuries. And actually, the nation of Israel didn't exist as such until, as you said, 1948, when that Jewish state was restored. But even today, as we look at Israel, what do we see? Are they at peace? Do they have prosperity and good times? No.
No.
They are suffering still under the threatening of the nations that surround them. So we still see that Israel is under God's hand.
That, I think, is a very profound part of what we're going to look at today. Israel still is under God's hand, and we have to, as you pointed out, say there still is an element of cursing, yet at the same time, God is preserving them, surrounded by so many enemies that are bent on their absolute destruction. This tiny nation continues to survive and, in some sense, thrive, though always in the midst of God's chastening until the day comes when they will fully turn and fully repent. And as you said, there is a definite application here for us, because Israel being the type of the church, we have our own experiences of cursing and blessing, don't we, Bob?
We certainly do, Chris.
Bob, let's look at a couple of these verses as we prepare to join Witness Lee for the first portion. In chapter 28, it says, "And if you listen diligently to the voice of Jehovah your God and are certain to do all His commandments, Jehovah your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you." But then, as we pointed out, Moses proceeds to give this long list of cursings, and those follow verse 15, which says, "But if you do not listen to the voice of Jehovah your God and are not certain to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." This is the story, blessing and cursing. Let's go to Witness Lee.
The children of Israel, if they listen to the voice of God, then they will be blessed in every way, in every aspect, every regards, and in everything. But now, if they did not listen to the voice of God, their God, and were not certain to do all his commandments and his statutes, all the curses would come upon them and overtake them. This is awful. All those words are just too heavy. Curses coming to every place and everything and in every way. You see, Moses just itemized all the curses because the children of Israel did not do all the words of God's commandment and did not fear these glorious and awesome name, Jehovah their God. God is severe. He means the business. And he does it. Even the New Testament tells us this. Paul tells us this. God is severe. To you, he is merciful. But to the rebellious ones, God is severe. We have to fear him.
Bob, we have this very short section that we're really using to kind of set up the rest of the message today, but I did want to come to the point here at the end. God is both merciful and severe, and there is a proper, healthy fear that needs to be in all of his people towards him, isn't there?
That's right, Chris. Brother Lee here was referring to the verse in Romans chapter 11, which says, "Behold then the kindness and the severity of God." On the one hand, God is kind. On the other hand, he is severe. It means he's serious with all his chosen people. And depending on our response to him, we experience one or the other. We experience God's kindness, which really is his blessings upon us. In the New Testament, mostly spiritual blessings. If we are faithful to him and we keep his word. But if we forsake him and we neglect his word, then we see the other side of God, which is his severity. So because of this, we should fear the Lord. We should take him seriously. We should not take him lightly. And we should not take our relationship with him in a light way.
There's a lot of talk in these days about permissive parenting. Many of us as parents, especially of teenage children, are torn whether to be severe or merciful and kind. And I think as Christians, often we'd somewhat try to superimpose this upon God, hoping that he will be permissive and relaxed in how he deals with us, his children. But a loving, righteous God certainly must be severe when we are in rebellion, just as he has always been with Israel.
That's right, Chris. So we need to learn to fear him.
Well, as we touched the matter of the curses early in the program today that would befall Israel if they were rebellious, one of the most severe of these curses that we alluded to was this matter of scattering. And actually, this is in chapter 28 near the end in verses 63 and 64. It says, "And Jehovah will scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you will serve other gods whom you and your fathers have not known, mere wood and stone. And among those nations you will have no rest, nor will there be a resting place for the sole of your foot. But Jehovah will give you there a quivering heart and eyes failing with longing and a languishing soul, and your life will be hung in suspense before you. And you will dread night and day, and you will have no assurance of your life." Bob, it's like reading the pages of the newspaper maybe 60 years ago.
That's right, Chris. This is very severe discipline from the Lord on his rebellious people, Israel.
This is certainly a prophetic word that we have seen fulfilled, well, maybe not in our direct lifetime, but certainly in our recent years. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
All the curses that befell the children of Israel carried out God's governmental dealings with them, so that eventually God would be able to accomplish his economy with them, to prove that he is the very God who would not change in his will forever. Yeah. Don't think God chastised the children of Israel so severely that means God would give them up. No. God's chastisement indicates he will not let you go. If you read Zechariah 12 with Matthew 24, you could see God ordained for them 70 weeks, right? In Daniel 9, 7 weeks for the rebuilding of the ancient Jerusalem, then another 62 weeks for the period from the rebuilding of the old Jerusalem to the day of Christ's crucifixion. Just leaving 1 week, there is the break, the gap between the 72 and the last week. And we are in this period. And this period is the period of the grace. That is the age of church. According to what is going on today on this earth, I do believe this is the gap we are here. Very close to the end. Number one, the nation of Israel was restored. Number two, Jerusalem was returned. Concerning Israel, there's only one sign we are waiting for. That is the rebuilding of the temple. Because Matthew 24:15 say that there will be the abomination set up in the temple. The Lord reminds us what Daniel says. And there is something going on very, very severely to get the temple built. Then another thing, that is, communism was that powerful. But all of a sudden in these 2 years, communism is defeated. Well, this is a strong sign of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the big image in Daniel chapter 2. I don't know how long. And now, the sermon is coming.
Bob, a lot of big topics referred to in this section. We'd refer our listeners back to the life study of Daniel, certainly the life study of Revelation. We haven't had the life study of Zechariah yet, but all of these books touching the prophecies concerning Israel. And I recall recently even hearing a message that Witness Lee gave in 1962, which was really at the height of the Cold War, and this global conflict or battle between democracy and communism was raging. And he spoke very clearly then, I have no fear of communism. It will crumble. It will fall because there's no mention of it when the Lord comes. And we know that the Bible is setting things up because of what happened to Israel in 1948. So I was stunned by his speaking then. He spoke with such a surety, but really he saw all of these things in a very clear way as to how they play out in the working out of God's economy with Israel and the church.
Yes, Chris, it's marvelous how clear the scriptures are. And Peter said that the prophetic word of the scriptures is like a lamp shining in a dark place. So as we are going on and seeing all the events of history unfolding, we don't need to be confused by these things or even dismayed, because we have God's clear word of prophecy, which indicates how everything will develop. Here, I would like to make a point that Paul made in Romans 11. There, Paul pointed out to us that when God is chastening Israel, it looks as if he's giving them up, finished with them. But actually, this is God's discipline. This is not God's forsaking. Once God chooses someone, he never forsakes that person. Once God sets out to accomplish something, nothing can stop him. So God has a definite purpose for Israel, and he called Israel. He chose Israel to be his people. Now he's disciplining Israel so that he might perfect Israel, so that at the very end of this age, as the Bible clearly prophesies, when Israel is threatened nearly to the point of extinction, Christ will come to save the remnant of Israel. This is an amazing thing. So while God is chastening them, he's preserving them. And at the same time, he's arranging the whole world situation so that his word of prophecy in every detail will be fully fulfilled.
Bob, after nearly 20 centuries of Israel being seemingly abandoned, forgotten, forsaken, and then to have Israel almost miraculously reemerge in the 20th century, I think we've both heard Witness Lee speak many times of the effect that had on people who really knew and understood the Bible going back a half a century ago. What an astounding time that we live in to realize that God is working all of these things for the perfecting of his people, Israel, and also for the perfecting of his people, the New Testament economy people, the church, us.
That's right, Chris. God is working in our lives individually, in the world situation around us. We are seeing amazing things happen in a rather surprising way. No one would expect that such things as have happened in the last 60 years, from the Second War until today, would take place. It seems that things happen suddenly, unexpectedly, yet God is behind the scenes, preparing everything for the return of the Lord Jesus at the end of this age, in which Israel will play a role, and of course the believers will play a strong role.
Even the catastrophic events of recent days, we don't understand how all of this is working out, but we do have the faith and confidence. I recall a prayer meeting we had the evening of September 11th with some believers, and this was overriding feeling. Despite all of the turmoil and anxiety that everyone felt, there was somewhat for us a peace that we knew somehow this is God's hand. Not directly, but at least God working all things for his good and for the accomplishment of his purpose.
That is correct, Chris. This is an amazing thing. We can be sure that all the events of the recent days have very much to do with the working out of God's eternal plan. Even though we see only the outward events, behind the scenes, much is taking place. Mm. And we will see in the coming days something will work out for the fulfillment of God's word of prophecy in the Bible.
Let's go back to Witness Lee, Bob.
God has never given up Israel, and he's dealing with Israel sovereignly. On the one hand, he is disciplining Israel. On the other hand, he's protecting Israel. Isn't this a wonder? From 1948, today's 42 years, that small tiny nation could remain there. Isn't this a wonder? God is chastening, God is disciplining, dealing severely with Israel. But on the other hand, no one can turn down Israel, because according to prophecy, once Israel is restored, it will not be turned down. It will remain there till Matthew 24:29, a lightning will come. That's Jesus, right? A lightning will come. Then the whole house of Israel will turn to the Lord. Just in those last week, Daniel 9 tells us Antichrist will sign a covenant with Israel to keep in peace. That means he would allow Israel to worship God. But after half period, he changed his mind. He opposes all kinds of gods. You better read it in Revelation 17. Then at the end, the Lord Jesus comes back as a lightning. The whole house of Israel will repent to God and they will get saved. This is clearly recorded in Zechariah chapter 12. Well, I mentioned this a little bit to show you how faithful God is. He will keep his word. If we will not keep his word, he himself will keep. He will fulfill. Don't think just Israel today is under God's chastisement. We are also under God's dealing. Are we ready? Are we ready for the overcomer's rapture? Be sure that there will be a kind of rapture, extraordinary rapture for the overcomers. So we have to get ourselves ready. Otherwise, those who have overcome will be taken up to the third heavens. But all of the rest, maybe including you and me, will be left on this earth. Now, we have seen the curses declared. We have seen also the blessings declared. What God is doing here, not to give up Israel, but to chastise. The chastisement is another form of perfection. God is perfecting them. While God is perfecting them, God is also perfecting us. God just has two peoples on this earth, Israel and the church. God is doing these two things. And by history and by all these things on this earth, you just can see God is dealing with these two peoples.
Oh, Bob, in light of the world situation, everything that has happened, to listen to these words, I just feel blessed and privileged to see once again and to be assured and reassured that God is faithful. Even if we are unfaithful, He will fulfill His word. He will keep His word. He has kept and preserved Israel, and He is keeping and preserving us, even though we're being chastised for our perfection.
This is truly, truly marvelous, what we have heard here and the view that we have been presented. So today, God is working on two peoples, Israel and the church, and we are included in that second group. God is working on us day by day, chastening us when necessary, and yet preserving us on the earth to be His people so that He can perfect us. And He uses everything in our detailed daily lives and in the world situation globally to carry out His perfecting work. And He is faithful. If we don't keep His word, He will still keep His word. Paul said, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, right, for He cannot deny Himself. What a wonderful, marvelous Lord we have, who is working within us, working upon us to perfect us. Actually, His goal with us is to perfect us to be His overcomers so that He can take us away before the great tribulation comes. That will be a time of testing, a time of chastising to the uttermost. But there is a way for us to escape, and that is to cooperate with Him, to allow Him to perfect us today, so that we will be ready for the overcomer's rapture.
Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed our time together very much today. For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.